back to Create Your Pathway. This is your host, Rory, and today we're talking about the agriculture, food, and natural resources pathway. And I get to interview Dr. Mary Love Taggart. She's an associate extension professor in the Department of Agricultural and Biological Engineering at the Mississippi State University Extension Service. So agriculture, food, and natural resources has to do with all things farming and water and food production, which includes a lot of business and technology, not just knowing how to make things grow. And you'll hear a little bit from Dr. Mary Love Taggart in this interview about some of the different projects she's involved in, as well as ideas for the different kinds of interests that you can fulfill in careers in this pathway. So let's step now to our conversation.
Mary Love, thank you so much for being with me this morning.
Glad to be here.
Tell us your role or your title, and obviously what we call, you know, our title doesn't tell us everything about what we do in a day. So give us the down low on what you do and where you do it.
Well, my official title is Associate Extension Professor in the Department of Agricultural and Biological Engineering here at Mississippi State. So I work for the Mississippi State University Extension Service 100% of the time, but my academic home is in the Department of Agricultural and Biological Engineering. If you're 100% extension, that means you don't do a lot of formal teaching. It's more informal teaching and adult and youth education, so kind of non-traditional teaching. So I don't teach a lot of students here on campus. A lot of my teaching happens off campus. However, I do co-teach one class here in our department, soil and water management, and we can talk a little bit more about that later.
Yeah. So you say informal teaching. What are the kinds of things that you might do in a typical week?
I might be working on a proposal, or I might be working on a paper or an extension publication, or I might be out in the field installing soil moisture sensors. I might be collecting other data in the field like plant height or leaf area index.
Say papers and research. I mean, what are some of the goals that those things are trying to further?
Part of what we do in the Extension Service is we take applied research and kind of starts with a needs assessment. So what are the needs of our farmers and our other landowners? And then how can we do research to answer some of the questions that they have to improve their production practices and ultimately maintain or improve their profits? And then once we do the research and get those answers, then we share that back out.
And so one example of a problem might be something like, hey, I'm noticing that a bunch of my soybean leaves are turning yellow or getting some spots on them, and I'm not really sure why. And you guys might come in and take samples and figure out, oh, it's a fungus or maybe kind of a weather thing that's doing those kinds of things.
Right. Or, hey, this soil moisture sensor, I'm seeing a number here, but it doesn't really make sense to me. Can you help me figure out what's going on? So it might be that that soil moisture sensor wasn't really installed correctly, or it might be that it was installed correctly, but, you know, the battery, it might be something real simple like the battery, but the data logger has died. One thing I like about this job is that you never know what you might get. You know, we still, we get calls in the office, you know, can you help me with this topic or that topic? But most of my work evolves around water resources in the ag production setting.
You don't need to feel obligated to tell us your entire story, but I am curious, how did you decide that this was the career path you wanted to take?
I got my bachelor's degree at Millsaps College and thought I might be interested in the medical field. But by the time I graduated, I had decided that I was interested in environmental science. And that's a real general topic. And so I was trying to narrow that down a little bit. And I knew that ultimately I wanted to stay in the southeastern region. So I wanted to do something in the field of natural resources. Now, that's still pretty broad, but I had a professor from Mississippi State actually came and spoke to my class while I was at Millsaps, and he had a position for an assistantship for a master's student. And I said, oh, that sounds like a really interesting topic and project. Then after I finished my master's degree, you know, I thought at the time that if you got a PhD, that meant you were going to teach. So I was really, you know, I was not really interested in a PhD at that time, because I thought if you went into academia, you were going to be in a tenure track position and you were going to be teaching. But, you know, sitting where I am today, that's, you know, far from the truth. You know, that
there's a lot of roles for people with PhDs and private industry and in other different areas other than just sitting in a classroom, right?
Right, for sure. Now, we still need a lot of, we still need, you know, PhDs to teach students and educate our younger generations. But yeah, there are a lot of other roles. So when I finished my master's degree, I interviewed for a couple of jobs, you know, in quality control type positions. My master's project was actually in forest resources, but it was a bioremediation project. So using bacteria to break down different chemicals. And then from there, I got a little bit more specific. I knew I wanted to stay in the southeastern region, and I knew I wanted to work in the natural resources area. And I was particularly interested in water. So somebody told me, oh, well, if you're interested in water, you need to go talk to this professor who's done a lot of work with best management practices like filter strips, vegetated filter strips, you know, what types of plants do a better job at capturing sediment and different contaminants that are moving off the field. So I went and talked to that professor, and then that kind of led me to getting a PhD in actually weed science. I was not a traditional weed scientist. My project was more on watershed modeling and water quality analysis in the Upper Pearl River Basin.
Interesting. Okay, so what is something about like that area of study that somebody like me who knows almost nothing about it would be, I don't know, really surprised to learn?
You know, when you think of agriculture, you don't really think of technology. But really, a lot of agriculture today is based around technology, so much of it, not just precision agriculture, but everything we do. You know, it's important for that farmer to know exactly how much, you know, all the inputs that they're putting on that field, because they have to pay for that, you know, so you need to measure that efficiently so you can make sure that you're getting the most out of that crop to make the most of your profit.
To be able to feed the numbers of people that the United States food production has to feed, you've got to have scale, which means lots of machines. I mean, eventually more and more automation. You know, I like the other day got an email asking me to potentially invest as like a crowdfund investor, like an automated lawnmower, like an AI lawnmower that is also technology being used on some like industrial farm equipment. You know, it sounds like you're working in this broad field in a very, very specific way. So you're with the extension. So you're kind of working for the state of Mississippi, but also you're with the, you know, in a university setting a little bit. So what are some other, I mean, some obvious careers come to mind, like if you wanted to go into farming, you'd have a career in agriculture, right? What are some other possible career paths for somebody who thinks they're interested in farming, the land, water, these kinds of things?
Well, here in our department, and I think it's important to talk about our department because we're really unique. There are some other universities that are set up like Mississippi State, where they have a Department of Biosystems Engineering or a Department of Agricultural and Biological Engineering like we have here. But we are actually under two different colleges. Now, what that means in practical terms is we offer several different degrees. One degree is, two degrees, biological engineering and biomedical engineering are offered through the Begley College of Engineering. Then through the College of Ag and Life Sciences, we offer a degree in ag engineering, technology, and business. So under the College of Agriculture, if a student wants to get a degree in AETB, they have a choice of pursuing four different concentration areas. One is precision agriculture. Another is natural resources and environmental management. A third is enterprise management. And then the fourth one is surveying and geomatics. So the career that they might pursue would probably depend on the concentration area that they would focus in. And again, this is in our specific department, but in agriculture in general, there's so many options. I mean, you know, a student might go work for the state environmental agency or the Natural Resources Conservation Service. You could be a watershed planner. You know, really, if you think about it, agriculture, there's so much about agriculture that is related to the environment around, you know, that crop production. So students might work for a consulting company or a surveying company. Our students who major in ag econ or in our department, enterprise management, would have a combination of science classes and business classes. Mm-hmm. And those students might work for an ag lending company like Mississippi Land Bank. A lot of our students go to work for ag tech companies like Simplot, Helena, other chemical distributors, and machine companies too.
Okay. You mentioned that you have been doing some work about water, and you mentioned a little bit about, like, there's this big aquifer here in Mississippi that's actually going down a little bit. Can you say a little bit more about that? Because I think that's really interesting.
Yes. So agriculture is so important to our state. And if we look at the Mississippi Delta, most of the water for irrigation comes from groundwater, the Mississippi River Valley Alluvial Aquifer, MRVA. And that's a shallow aquifer. So what that means is it doesn't cost very much to drill down and access that aquifer. So we can get that water relatively inexpensively. So what that's because of that, we've seen an increasing expansion in our number of irrigated acres. So in the Delta right now, there's a lot of work that's being done by Mississippi State and other agencies too, federal and state agencies, to try to conserve water, only use the amount of water for irrigation that that crop needs so that we're not wasting any water, because we've seen those groundwater levels continue to drop since probably the 1970s when we started to see more and more irrigation. But there are other areas of our state who are that are important agricultural areas too, like Northeast Mississippi. And we're seeing a little bit more irrigation in that part of the state, too. And that's the area of the state that most of my work has been in. But in that part of the state, it's not economically feasible to access groundwater because you have to drill so much deeper. And that costs more money the deeper you go. Plus, you might drill one or two times and you might not hit water, depending on what area you're in, what county. So that gets expensive too. You know, if you're continually drilling, you know, you don't hit water, or you have to drill down to 600 or 700 feet, that's going to cost a lot of money to pump that water up. So look as you're driving around, and I bet you'll start to notice we're seeing more on-farm water storage ponds or surface water storage. So instead of using groundwater, we have an increasing number of farmers who are using surface water for irrigation. And that's a really good fit for our state because Mississippi receives 70% of our annual rainfall during the fall, winter, and spring months. Well, when do we grow our crops? We grow our crops during the summer, but we only get 30% of our annual rainfall during the summer. And, you know, you're always, you know, a week or two out from a drought, right? So, you know, it doesn't matter how much water you get. If you don't get it when that crop needs it, when the crop is in its reproductive phase, for example, that's the most sensitive time for that crop. So, you know, we can take that water. We get so much water during the fall and winter. Really too much water at times, right? We go feast or famine in Mississippi. We're either in a drought or flooding situation, it seems. But if we can take that excess water during the winter and hold it on the farm in a pond to save for the growing season when we need it, you know, that's a really good use of water. We can capture that water and be more efficient. So in Northeast Mississippi, where groundwater is not really an option, we're seeing most of our irrigation there is with center pivots using surface water for irrigation. In the Delta, we're still using a lot of groundwater, but we're using more surface water too. So that's called conjunctive water use, when you're using both groundwater and surface water together.
Thanks for sharing that.
A lot of work being done to conserve water, to be efficient, because too, it saves the farmer money. If you're pumping less water, then that's reduced energy costs, and that's going to save you money. So,
yeah,
that's our goal, to be as efficient as possible and help the farmer make as good of a profit as they can.
You mentioned technology. What are some ways that you see this field changing that maybe are creating some exciting new opportunities for students who are looking ahead to their career?
One of the changes that I see, and I think our students are seeing this too, I've got four kids in the public school system here in Starkville, and, you know, we're having to learn, you know, we've been used to doing everything face-to-face, and through this pandemic, we've had to learn how to do more things electronically and virtually. So, you know, I think it depends on, I guess, how you want to look at it. Is it a challenge or an opportunity? You know, I think doing things virtually offers a lot of convenience, but I think it's also important to maintain those personal connections. So, you know, what's a good balance between that? But I do see going forward more opportunities for providing educational information through social media and electronic means.
Yeah. Okay. So what's some advice that you have if there's a student, he or she's in, let's say, high school, and they're thinking about wanting to get into this field? It sounds like going to college is important. So this isn't necessarily one of those fields that you can just get into from high school, unless you're going to go into farming or something like that, right? Where obviously you don't have a college degree, but in some of these other, especially technology adjacent careers, college is going to be important. What kinds of things do you want, you know, should they care about, want to study in college? What advice do you have?
The best advice I have is to get a summer job in the area that you think you might want to go into, or get an internship. And that's really more to benefit you, just to have that experience to see, you know, hey, is this something I really like and enjoy and want to do? Try to shadow somebody in that field. You know, you'll decide if that's something you might be interested in or not. I know one thing that is really important here at Mississippi State is community engaged learning. Mm-hmm. And there's been a big emphasis on that in the past 10 years. In fact, we were the first university in the state to become, to receive the Carnegie designation for a community engaged university. And what that means is we promote community engagement through teaching, learning, service, and research. So the class that I co-teach with a colleague here in our department is soil and water management, and that's a community engaged learning class. So we took those students and worked with a local farmer was our community partner, and they helped design an irrigation system for his farm. So that was a good, you know, through community engaged learning, we try to provide more real world experiences. So once you get into school, once you, you know, I know you're going to come to Mississippi State, right? So once you come to Mississippi State, look for those community engaged learning classes, and that'll give you a little bit more, some more hands-on learning opportunities and some opportunity to do some critical thinking and reflection to see, kind of to evaluate what you've learned.
Yeah. And I think, are there programs or classes or anything through Extension Service that high schoolers could take advantage of to try and get some of this experience?
Oh, yeah. So one thing that's great about the Extension Service is we have an office in every county. So I would encourage you to, if you have they answer questions about everything, not just agriculture, but, you know, how to can pickles or, you know, anything you could possibly have a question about, go ask your local county extension agent. But they offer a lot of programs for youth through 4-H. And then also, you know, during the summer, we hire a lot of student workers to work for us during the summer, because we're doing a lot of field work during the summer.
Yeah.
So that's an opportunity too.
And then what are some, maybe some personal, because obviously there's technical skill, which is important, but I think to have success in a career, there's also some like personal qualities, maybe some soft skills that are important for students to be thinking about. What are some of those that you have observed are important if somebody wants to get hired and even promoted in your field?
I would say communication skills. It doesn't matter how smart you are. If you can't tell somebody what you know in a form that they can understand it, then, you know, your knowledge is not getting out to the people who need it. So communication in all forms, I think being able to talk to people is still important, but also write. I mean, can you compose an email using correct grammar and punctuation, or write a letter?
Do you check your email?
Do you check your email? Yes. You know, I still write a lot of letters. I mean, I have students requesting letters of recommendation. Mm-hmm. We get support letters for grants we're writing or projects we want to do. So being able to write effectively is very important, I think. Mm-hmm. Agriculture today has a new face with there's more technology involved and just more opportunities overall. I mean, you know, the water, energy, food nexus, I mean, all those topics are woven together, and it's going to be so important to recruit smart people to this field to help address the food needs for our growing population moving forward. I would encourage students to come visit campus or come visit, you know, if you don't end up going to school in state, you know, definitely wherever you think you want to go to college, go visit the campus, go visit the department you're interested in, see what they have to offer, look at their program, look at the classes you would be taking when you get there, and check out the facilities and see what opportunities they have for undergraduate research too, because that'll benefit you as well.
So what I'm hearing is there are lots of career opportunities to do some things that are really interesting and fulfilling, and the need continues to grow. So this is definitely a career field that people should consider.
Yes.
All right. Well, Mary Love, thank you so much for spending this time with me. I know you have a lot going on, and I wish you the best.
You too.